Okay, so let's continue reading 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. Excuse me. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." This afternoon, we're very glad to have Reverend John to share with us God's word. Sermon title is, indeed, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Reverend John, please.
Okay, can flash the photograph? Yeah, wanted the children to look at this, but it's okay. Can show them another time. Yeah, wanted to show them that, you know, their older brothers and sisters stood here once like them, you know, to praise God. And yeah, Manfred was telling me that, you know, when he saw the children rehearsing for the song, you know, it reminded him that he also stood there like them once many years ago. And yeah, if you, yeah, my daughter my son and Hannah, yeah, you recognize some of them, right? Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to be able to, you know, journey together as a family, right? This is, we are members of God's family, a spiritual family. And for 46 years, God has been good to us. And He's faithful, His love for us is steadfast. He carried us forward day after day. And we are commemorating His goodness today. And for those who do not know, the English congregation was set up in February 1980. And I came in 1986 and was baptized 2 years later. Rachel and I made our marital vow in this sanctuary in 1991. And I'm really thankful to God for bringing me into this community. And, you know, I can call this my really second home. And this is indeed my spiritual family. I call you my brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this family, I experience love, nurturing, support, and encouragement. I remember that period where I was studying in seminary at SBC for 4 years. I was supported not only by the church, by brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Not just me, my family, and all of us, I believe those who have been here have a story to tell, to give thanks to God. And recently, Sister Manpui, she got baptized, and another sister, Yingying, you know, told me, we met up and said she wants to be a member of this church, right? And they visited other churches. There's one actually just across the road where Sister Yingying lives, and she wanted to come here. And really thankful that the love of God is present. And I told her that the both of them, actually, to any new believers or anyone who wants to come join us, is that we are not a perfect community. You know, we are all broken people journeying together by the grace of God. So, yeah, there will be times where we step on each other's toes, but we are learning all the while, learning to love one another as God has commanded us, right? So, certainly the Lord is good to the English congregation. He sustained, provided, and led us all these years in our journey of faith. There were challenges, difficulties, and trials. Time doesn't permit me to share some of these episodes, but despite the journey in the valley, right, in those times, God's grace sustained us. He kept us even though these episodes brought us pain and sadness, right? God also blessed us with delightful and encouraging events like the retreats, the Christmas cantatas, and fellowships, right? I have some pictures and videos of them. I can't show it to you now, another time, perhaps, maybe lunch later on, you'll watch one of the Christmas cantata that we had, those who have signed up, right? Okay. So let's pray before we continue. Faithful and loving God, we thank you for 46 years of grace, provision, and mercy. You have carried us through seasons of joy and trial. As we listen to your word today, we ask that the Holy Spirit instill in us the fear of the Lord and humility to follow and obey Christ, who is the head of the church, all the days of our lives. Amen. Let me read this verse again. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Let's look at what transpired before this declaration by the prophet Samuel. The Israelites had gone into battle, gone through deep spiritual failure, actually. They had long struggled with idolatry, turning to Baal and Ashtoreth instead of worshipping the Lord. They have turned to other gods. In their confrontation with the Philistines, they superstitiously brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle, thinking that by doing this, they would win the battle. They treated God like a lucky charm instead of as the living God. Not surprisingly, then, they lost the battle and the Ark of God was captured by the Philistines, really symbolizing Israel's spiritual defeat and disobedience. The Philistines later returned the Ark. It remained at Kiriath Ear for 20 years, and the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. We see that in verse 2 of chapter 7. And Samuel urged the people to put away foreign gods and serve the Lord wholeheartedly. If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. At Mizpah, the Israelites gathered to confess their sins, fast, and renew their covenant with God. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Samuel interceded for them, offering a sacrifice and praying on their behalf. During this time of repentance, the Philistines advanced and attacked Israel at Mizpah. The Israelites, fearful, asked Samuel to keep praying for God's deliverance. As Samuel offered the burnt offering, the Lord thundered against the Philistines, throwing them into confusion. Israel pursued them and won a decisive victory, reclaiming territory that they had lost. To commemorate this divine help, Samuel set up a stone between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, declaring, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." Ebenezer means stone of help. Interestingly, there is a place by this same name mentioned in chapter 4, verse 1. Israel was defeated by the Philistines near this place where the Israelites camped. The battle was lost near the stone of help, but won at Mizpah later, and then commemorated with a stone named Stone of Help. It wasn't the location, clearly, that made the difference. It was the spiritual posture of the people. Samuel's declaration was not just about a military victory. It was about marking a spiritual turning point. Israel had repented, God had intervened, and Samuel wanted them to remember that their survival and success depended entirely on the Lord's help. The enduring truth we see here is this. When God's people humble themselves, God bestows His favor. When we humble ourselves before God, not thinking highly of ourselves or what we have achieved, but humbling ourselves before God, recognizing that He is the one in charge, He is the one leading us, He is the one that makes things happen, His favor, He will bestow His favor on us. It was after repentance and prayer that they experienced true help. When we look at the Old Testament history of the Israelites, we see a spiraling down of their faith and love for their covenantal God. In the book of Exodus, while Moses was receiving the law, the people made and worshipped a golden calf. This happened right after God delivered them from Egypt. "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." What a terrible thing to say. We see that in Exodus 32, verse 4. In the book of Numbers, we see repeated complaints and unbelief. The Israelites complained about hardships and refused to enter the promised land. Despite seeing miracles, they distrusted God. And we see a pattern here. Quick forgetfulness of grace, leading to distrust and eventually rebellion. The book of Judges shows a repeated downward cycle. They did evil, they served Baal, a foreign god. God gave them over to their enemies. They cried out. God raised a judge. After the judge died, they became more corrupt than before. Shocking, isn't it? Judges chapter 2, verse 19. The statement at the end of the book of Judges, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Mind you, they were the people of God. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Shows not just a decline, but moral chaos. The spiritual battle, the pattern here we see is deliverance, forgetfulness of God's goodness, and then leading to deeper corruption. Then there is the failure of the leadership, the kings. King Saul rejected God's word. God rejected him as king. King David committed the sin of adultery and murder. Although he repented, the kingdom began to fracture. As for Solomon, his many wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as 1 Kings 11, verse 4 tells us. The king who built the temple ended up building high places for idols. Solomon's privileged position resulted in compromise and finally a divided heart. Jeroboam, the first king of the divided northern kingdom of Israel, set up golden calves in Bethel and Dan, 1 Kings 12, 29, appointed non-Levitical priests and created new festivals, causing Israel, the northern kingdom, to sin. The subsequent kings of the northern kingdom are described as walking in the ways of Jeroboam and the sin he caused Israel to commit, which ultimately resulted in the downfall and exile of the northern kingdom of Israel. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all His prophets and seers to repent from their idolatrous and evil ways, but to no avail. They would not listen and were stiff-necked as their ancestors who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected His decrees and the covenant He had made with their ancestors and the statutes He had warned them to keep, the law. The southern kingdom, like the northern counterpart, also fell eventually, but this time to the Babylonians. The northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. Similarly, the southern kingdom, they refused to heed the call to repent by the prophet Jeremiah. Now, just listen attentively to this heart-wrenching and sad pronouncement in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. During the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, "You have seen what faithless Israel has done. Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She has gone up on every high hill and under every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she had done all this, she would return to me, but she did not. And her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery. Because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her, she defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood." In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord. The Lord said to me, "Faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithful Judah. Go, proclaim this message toward the north." "Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever, only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me, declares the Lord. Return, faithless people, declares the Lord, for I am your husband." This is an emotionally charged passage. God expressed his deep anguish as a husband over his wife's infidelity, figuratively, of course. God describes the broken intimacy with his people by way of marital betrayal. The hurt is deep, the sorrow is great. God disciplined, warned, and pleaded for his people to repent and return to him, but it fell on deaf ears and was met with hardened indifference. Betrayal continued. We ought to be thankful for 46 years of God's grace and mercy. However, EC Church anniversary is not merely a celebration of survival. It is a moment to ask, have we remained faithful to our covenant Lord? Has our love deepened or merely our history lengthened? Have we remained faithful to our covenant Lord? Has our love deepened or merely our history lengthened? Like Israel, the English congregation can keep its structures, maintain its programs, preserve its traditions, yet quietly drift in affection. Jeremiah reminds us, God does not merely measure activity. He measures devotion. He looks into our hearts. It's not just the external things that we do. American Christianity is facing a humongous crisis. The megachurch boom, which began in the 1980s and exploded in the 1990s and 2000s, is collapsing. The success stories of several of these churches are coming to an end. You can, you know, go on YouTube and just search for the collapse of the mega churches, right? And there are few videos you can watch, you know, describing, you know, what is happening over there to the mega churches. Some of the mega churches. If the English congregation is run by business principles, professional marketing, and charismatic leadership, we will be in trouble. If we seek to be successful in the eyes of men, we truly miss the point. God is not looking for success. God is looking for faithfulness. Are we faithful to Him? In the passage of Jeremiah chapter 3, Israel and Judah are labeled as faithless and unfaithful. This was their failure in the eyes of God. And they had to bear a big consequence for that. Exile. God did not call us to engineer numerical growth. He calls us to go and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. God did not call us to build a ministry empire, to make it big. No. He called us to be faithful, to serve, to be a witness, to build each other up in the faith, to discipleship, to follow Jesus. He is concerned first and foremost about our spiritual health. When we are spiritually healthy, we will have clarity concerning the will of God. And we will have the courage to walk the path of the cross. People are constantly looking for answers, purpose, and meaning in light of the uncertainties, insecurities, chaos, suffering, and corruption that confront life. But we can face and deal with whatever this fallen world throws at us, because we know the battle belongs to the Lord of hosts. And He calls us to be faithful, to follow Him, to trust Him. We do not know what lies ahead in 2026 for us. The war just started with Iran, with US and Israel, you know, bombarding some areas in Iran. what's the ramifications, what is the repercussions, we really do not know. Will it escalate? Will it become World War III? We do not know. How many of us would lose our job because of AI? We don't know. But our confidence lies not in how clever we are, how resourceful we are. Our confidence must rest on God, the Sovereign One, who is in control of all things. He is charting the course of history in accordance to His goodwill. And we need to align ourselves to that. And when we are spiritually healthy, all of us, we can encourage one another, spur one another on. We can help carry each other's burdens to face all these things as God empowers us. We need not to be fearful. We need not to have sleepless nights. We need not to worry. We don't have to be overwhelmed. But we must journey together as one. Our spiritual journey is one of staying faithful to God to the end, obeying His commandments out of love for Him. We need to teach our children the fear of the Lord in a world that does not believe in absolute truth, who embraces relativism. We need to trust God in a world that is becoming increasingly fragmented and volatile. We need to pray without ceasing, as our struggles are against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But we know Christ has overcome the world. He has defeated the evil one. We are in good, safe, and mighty hands when we follow Jesus. People of God, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we are in Christ. Let us walk in the light and not in darkness. Let us continually walk in step with the Spirit, never to veer off, to divert. Let us do the work of the Lord fervently with an undivided heart. In conclusion, God has helped us thus far through leadership changes, challenges, growth, and unseen trials. But the question is not only, has God been faithful to us? The deeper question is, have we been faithful to Him? An anniversary, a church anniversary, should be both a stone of remembrance, Ebenezer, and a moment of recommitment. God's help in the past does not eliminate the need for repentance in the present. But here is the comfort. The God who helped Israel when they repented of their ungodly ways is the same God who pleaded, "Return to me." He helps, He disciplines, He restores. Therefore, members of this congregation, let us stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel as we continue our march forward with Christ as our conqueror. I shall end with a responsive prayer in a leader congregation manner. Let us offer this prayer up to God sincerely from our hearts, with conviction. So I invite you to stand. in a leader congregation manner, let's offer this prayer to God. Faithful God, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have sustained this church through every season. Yet you search not only our works, but our hearts. You desire not only our service, but our love. Where we have trusted in programs more than prayer, in reputation more than repentance. Where we have grown familiar with holy things and taken your presence for granted. You say to us, "Return, for I am your husband." Keep us faithful as your people. Guard our unity. Purify our worship. Deepen our love for Christ. You have been faithful to us. By your grace, we will be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you have helped us thus far. Keep us close, keep us faithful, and keep us returning to you. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness of our sins. We recognize that we have disobeyed you at times, and Lord, you see everything, you know everything. And God, we are thankful that you are one who disciplines us because you love us. You are our Heavenly Father. You are the one who would restore us and lift us up to carry on walking in faithfulness, in love for you. So Lord, we pray for your abundant grace to come upon us as we set our minds on things above, as we surrender our lives to the loving Lordship of our Lord Jesus. So God, take us forward. We do not know what awaits us this year and the years beyond, but we know, O God, that you are with us and you are for us, you are not against us. We need to align ourselves to you, trust you, so help us, God. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.